Hello, everyone. This is the PWM Podcast, and I am Luke Mounsey. Today, I'd like to talk about the subject, the Bible is God's intellectual property, or the Bible has God's intellectual property. Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. 2 Timothy 2:9, wherein I suffer trouble, even as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Important thing to note, probably the most important thing in this conversation, is that the Bible is God's word. It was literally inspired or breathed out by him. It was not just man's thoughts or ideas being pinned down, but it was literally God leading and guiding holy men to write what he wanted them to write. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word translated, given by inspiration of God, literally means God breathed or breathed out by God. Literally means that God is God's actual little breath, literal, spoken word, written down. It's not man's word, as I said before. Man wrote it, as we read in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So it's only God and Spirit, the Holy Ghost, leading these men to write and speak God's word. Or we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, we see all scripture, which means God's word written down, not just God's spoken word. All scripture written word is given by inspiration or God breathed or spoken. So all the written word originated as God's spoken word and was written down. We see that the scriptures or the writings, or what we call the Bible, is inspired by God. Because it's inspired by God, it's his writing, it's his work, even though he used human hands and to write it down, human mouths to speak it out. What that means is that It's his property. It's his word. The Bible or the scriptures is God's intellectual property, meaning that he has the final say as to how it can and cannot be used, how it should be distributed, how it should be copied out, who can do what with it, what you can speak with it. What you can get over here. So that's in Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it. So for God's word, he wants a great company publishing and not just a handful. God gives his word and multitudes are out there publishing it and redistributing it. We read in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. The Old Testament, we see this command to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 32:46. "Set your hearts and he said unto them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law." What we see is that Jesus commands us to teach the world to observe all things that he has commanded us to do. Moses commanded the Israelites to teach their children all the words of the law. And they would teach their children, they would teach their children. You don't see anything here saying, only teach them this part and don't teach them that part. It's just teach all of it. We don't see any limitation saying only use so much of it or don't use so much of it or don't we preach out of these books and avoid different books. We don't see that. We see Old Testament and New Testament. It says, teach him all things that have been commanded or that have been spoken, that are from the spoken word, which became the written word, as I discussed before. I believe in what I call, for lack of a better term, a shareable Bible. What does that mean? It means that a shareable Bible is any Bible or Bible translation that can be legally copied and redistributed, and copied and redistributed repeatedly, meaning I take a copy, maybe in digital form, maybe in print form. For sake of argument, we say it's in digital form. I copy it on a USB stick and hand it to Bob. Now Bob takes it and copies it and emails it to Susie. And Susie puts it on a website and Jose downloads it, etc., and on and on and on. That is how the Bible was meant to be shared. It's not this, I get permission and then I can just share it with you, but you can't share it with a third party. The Bible was meant to be shared and shared and shared. Generation to generation to generation. Parents teach their children, the children teach their children, they teach their children, on and on and on. It wasn't meant to be limited in its transmission. And this is just as God intended this, what we call a shareable Bible. Restress, it says, back in Psalm 68:11, let me get over there. The Lord gave his word, the Lord gave the word, great was coming of those that publish it. We see the word publish is translated from the Hebrew word balsar, which is Strong's number H1319. This Hebrew word can also be translated preach, show forth, bring forth good tidings. It's not just limited to how we think of publication as being something that's in print or maybe something that's online or in digital form. But then publishing meant just to be speaking it or preaching it. So in Isaiah 52:7, we see it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, basar, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings, basar, of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The word, as we're talking about publication here, the word that publisheth here is translated from a different word in Hebrew. It's translated from shama, which means hear intellectually, or cause to hear, or call together, or means something similar, but not exactly the same, I guess. But still means a bit more than what we think of as published being print or electronic media. It actually means, it actually can mean basically spoken word. So the point of all of this is that there are many ways to transmit God's word, spoken, written, electronic, even what you're watching right now is spoken word that's recorded electronically. So obviously print media was probably at a premium at their time, because it wouldn't have been print media, it would have been handwritten. So most of what they had was basically passed down, a lot of it orally. Where am I going? See, going back to Deuteronomy 32:46, again, they're teaching the commandments or God's word to their children. And we see that he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. We see them being told to pass the word down, whether it's what media they're using it doesn't say, it just says teach these to your children. We don't see a limit saying only teach them so much. We don't see a 500 verse limit or 1,000 verse limit, and that verses, the concept of verses, verse divisions are man-made in themselves anyway. They're not inspired of God like the actual text is. You see, as I said before, we're commanded as Christians in New Testament times, we're commanded to teach the word to the world, share the gospel with the world with no limits. Examples of what I would call a shareable Bible would be, say, a public domain Bible, which there aren't a whole lot of them. They tend to be older, 100 years old or older, except for the King James, which is mostly public domain. A lot of the old Reformation era Bibles, like the Geneva, which are several hundred years old and are generally public domain. Obviously, it's older language. Number two, it could be Bibles that are intentionally released under a license that allows them to be shared, such as a Creative Commons type license, which is a, you research on what that means. That basically means a license where the intent of a license is to share works of literature. Release it under something that the license allows you to share it and reshare it. I'm not going to go into the details of those licenses today, but they do exist, licenses that are, you can apply to your work of literature and allow other people to redistribute it. And some Bible publishers have placed these sort of licenses on their Bibles with the intent on making them shareable, at least in a non-commercial format where they don't want you to sell them, but they're okay if you reprint them or post them online or whatnot, just to get the word out there. And sometimes I find Bibles, number three on the list, be Bibles where still has a standard copyright on it. But as part of their copyright statement, they allow for non-commercial redistribution and duplication. So those are the three sort of types of Bibles that you might find, that three sort of types of licenses on a Bible you might find. Public domain, like a Creative Commons or other standardized free duplication license, or just a copyright statement, and it'll just allow us for it. However, it should be noted that most Bible publishers do not believe that God's word should be shareable, and they put standard proprietary type copyrights on their Bibles. You know that the word says, the word of the Lord is not bound. Let me look that verse back up. There it goes. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, the word of God is not bound. Well, what do these Bible publishers do? They put restrictions on their translations, binding up the unbound word. You can only quote up to 500 verses, or in some cases only 250 verses. If you want to quote more, you have to ask man's permission. Why should we have to ask man's permission to quote from God's word? That makes no sense. That's not biblical. Where in the yellow scriptures I discussed previously, where does it say you have to ask permission to teach your children God's word? To teach them all of God's word. It doesn't say that. It says teach them God's word. Don't have to ask anyone permission. Don't have to ask a priest or a pope or a pastor or a king or a ruler or anyone's permission to teach God's word. Why should we have to ask a Bible publisher? And if you're using it commercially, or even probably even non-commercially, sometimes I'll ask to be required to pay royalties. Well, why should we pay royalties to quote God's word? One time I even talked to a pastor of mine. He says they paid royalties to use the Bible version that they were using in their church services. I'm like, what? I mean, that's non-commercial usage right there. I mean, even if you argue, I mean, it's a church. It's a non-commercial use. I mean, it's a non-profit organization. Why are you paying royalties to quote what you believe to be God's word? Or is it really God's word? I mean, these publishers of Bibles, a lot of them really just see the Bible as being a cash cow. I'm not going to go into the full research there, but because a lot of stuff I haven't confirmed, but I've heard of people being charged absorbent royalties that include certain translations in, say, a computerized Bible software. But we say in conclusion is that God is the author of the Bible, and God is the owner of the Bible. It's not man's intellectual property. It's God's intellectual property. Man can make translations and claim that they're his according to our copyright law. Okay, it's considered derivative work and you can copyright it, but not according to God's law, it's not. God doesn't see difference between the original and his translation. It's either his word or it's not his word. And maybe that's the real point. Maybe these for-profit Bibles are really not Bibles in the biblical sense. I can get into the whole text and translation issue, but that's not really subject of this particular conversation, where we see there's been a deviations from the original text. But like I said, that's not really part of this specific conversation. We'll talk about that in the future. And since it's God's word, it's his intellectual property, and he's commanded us to share it throughout the world. This is why we in our Bible search engine focus so heavily on what we call shareable Bibles. Every Bible we have in there is a Bible that can be legally shared and reshared and reshared and reshared to get the Word of God out there. Right now I'm not wasting my time fighting with Bible publishers and Bible translations that you just can't do that without bagging someone for permission. Why should I beg someone permission to share God's word? We believe that the Bible is meant to be copied and shared. Just like believers did centuries ago when they were copying out manuscripts by hand and sharing them and recopying by hand and sharing them. And that's how all of our manuscripts came into place. We believe the Bible should be shareable. Most of these modern Bible publishers do not feel this way. Probably some rare exceptions. I don't endorse this translation, but the World English Bible. I don't endorse it because of its textual background, but the publishers did decide to put the thing in a public domain. You can literally use the thing for anything, even commercially. I do commend them for that. I do commend Reina Valera Gomez, which is reshareable, at least not for commercial purposes, which is as a Spanish Bible. But I have a few others in my search engine that I could mention. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head that were more modern translations, but are under shareable licenses, allowing us to use them and share them. But most modern Bible publishers don't feel that the Bible should be shareable. They place these stringent copyrights on their translations, just like any other human work. You have to ask for permission to quote more than 500 verses or 250 or 1,000, depending on the translation. And you may even have to pay them royalties to use it. Like I said, even churches are paying these people royalties. Like, why? Do these publishers, God gave the word? A few are the company that publish it. And not unless you ask them permission. They bound out their unbound word with their copyright restrictions. This is not what God intended. They misappropriate God's word, claim it to be their own. But maybe they're right. Maybe it's not God's word. What they're publishing isn't God's word, but man's word, pretending to be God's word. Maybe their Bibles are just good Bible commentaries and not actual Bibles. Do they really believe that God, the Bible is God's inspired word? But a lot of that's going to be subject for future conversations, future topics here where we discuss where all these Bibles came from. Why do we have so many Bibles? What's up with the different text? Why are there so much variance in the translations? What's the difference between a formal equivalence and a dynamic equivalence and a paraphrase? What's with all that? Are people really... Pause. 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." So we're not corrupting the word of God. We are upholding it and treating it like it's God's inspired word. And the question for you is, are you really believing that the Bible is God's word? Since the Bible is God's word, how are we treating it? Are we sharing it with people? Are we seeking to get it in the hands of others? Are we using it as intended? which is for teaching us in correction and instruction in righteousness, for the verse said. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Are we using the Bible for doctrine, for reproof, for knowing what's wrong with us, for correction, for knowing how to get it right, for instruction in righteousness, for knowing how to keep it right and stay in the bounds of what we consider righteousness and stay out of sin? Are we reading it? Are we obeying it? Are we living by the word? Are we sharing with others? That really is the question. As we see that God, the Bible is God's intellectual property, how are we treating it? This is Luke Bouncy. I'll just sign off here. Remember, our websites are preservedword.com, which is our main blog, and BibleSuperSearch.com, which is our Bible search engine, where you can go there and download Bibles that you can share in PDF format and other formats. If you're looking to treat God's Word as it's intended, here's one resource for you. We have all these Bibles you might want to download. So here's our homepage on Bible Super Search. Go, where is it? Bible downloads free. Select your Bible. You see all the Bibles we have on here. Many different languages. And select your format. We're going to be adding some more Bibles and some more formats soon. But this will allow you to download, share the Bible in digital form. The PDFs are actually formatted to be printed. But I'll go into details of the Bible search engine later. This is Luke Mousy, Preserved Word Ministries, PWM Podcast, signing off.